And we pray the Lord will enable us to serve Him all the days of our life. I want to thank Brother Dan Gordon and the Home Baptist Church. For a number of years, we've been coming to the conference, and as is the norm, we have been treated much more greatly than we deserve. It's a blessing to be able to assemble with the Lord's people, to see the faces of God's elect still faithfully serving and desiring to hear the Word of God. But above all that, it's a wonderful privilege to be in the presence of God. To be able to hear from heaven, to be able to sing songs of praise unto the Lord. Why do you love the Lord? I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, God is merciful. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. What a privilege to be heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To have an affiliation with the Creator of the universe. To have a relationship with His only begotten Son, to have a hope that is steadfast and sure, to have an inheritance reserved for us, undefiled, and that fadeth not away in heaven. All the privileges that we have as the people of God, and this is a privilege, to assemble together here upon this earth. This, for you and I, ought to be a foretaste of what heaven holds and what glory holds for us as the people of God. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Chronicles chapter 27. Brother Dan sent me a letter with a note on it and then called me on the telephone and told me that he had me scheduled for Thursday in the afternoon. I certainly did not want to get a text that I thought anyone else would choose. And so the Lord inclined my heart to 1 Chronicles chapter 27. And thank the Lord nobody's come close. It's always a concern of mine, and I guess it shouldn't be. But I'm human. That the Lord may give a message and someone else may get up and preach the message. I suppose if it needs to be repeated, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
If God gives it. And certainly in some regards, this message will touch upon other messages that have been preached. The title for the message this afternoon is Protect the Oil. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. If you have that place in your Bibles, would you join me in standing to your feet? Just to show our respect for the open Word of God. I'm so thankful that we have God's Word. Inerrant, eternal, preserved for us through all ages. And I pray that God would help us to always handle it with respect. I want to begin reading in verse number 25 of 1 Chronicles chapter 27. And over the king's treasures was Asmaveth, the son of Adiel. And over the storehouses in the fields, in the cities, and in the villages, and in the castles, was Jehonathan, the son of Uzziah. And over them that did the work of the field for tillage of the ground was Ezri, the son of Chelub. And over the vineyards was Shimei, the Ramathite. Over the increase of the vineyards for the wine cellars was Zabdi, the Shiphamite. And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal Hanan, the Gederite. And over the cellars of oil was Joash. And over the herds that fed in Sharon was Shitrai, the Sharonite. And over the herds that were in the valleys was Shaphat, the son of Adiah. Over the camels also was Obil, the Ishmaelite. And over the asses was Jedaiah, the Moronathite. And over the flocks was Jazez, the Hagarite. All these were the rulers of the substance which was King David's. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this afternoon and pray that God would help us as we look into His Word. Our Father in heaven, we bow before Thee this afternoon. So thankful for this privilege we have to gather together as Thy people. Thank Thee for the Home Baptist Church, for her pastor, Brother Dan Gordon, and for their faithfulness to serve Thee and to host this conference. Father, we thank Thee for the spiritual refreshing that it's been thus far, for the way in which Thou hast graced each preacher that has come to deliver Thy Word. And I do pray that Thou wouldst help me to be a faithful steward of Thy Word. Help me to declare Thy Word with truth and with clarity. Father, give Thy sheep ears to hear and an appetite to receive with meekness Thy Word. We pray for some that are even traveling during this hour back to their homes, that Thou wouldst give them safety, that have been able to attend the conference. Thank Thee for each one that's here this afternoon. And Father, if there are those that are in our congregation this afternoon that are lost, oh, we pray that it would please Thee to quicken them and draw them by Thy amazing grace to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help each church represented here to stay faithful in the work that Thou hast called us all to do. And Father, for each under-shepherd that's here, oh, we pray that Thou wouldst help us to stand, and having done all to stand, to not waver, to not compromise, but to be defenders of that which is right and that which is good and that which is holy, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes to call us away. This all we ask in the name of our blessed Redeemer and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, and all, you can be seated. What would you consider this afternoon to be a desired position in the body of Christ? The psalmist said, "I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." A day in thy courts, the psalmist says, is better than 1,000. A day in the house of God is better than 1,000 days outside of the house of God. Amen. While we're gathered together as the people of God, what duty, what job, what position would you deem to be the most desirable position? I've noticed during the conference that a young fella has been coming and putting cold water on the pulpit quietly every time a man of God comes to preach the Word of God. The psalmist said he'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. Some have been cupbearers for the king. Some have kept the flames lit on the candlestick. Let me say this afternoon that whatever position God gives, and beloved, I believe that God places no one in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to just sit. I believe God places individuals in particular in the church to serve. And so whatever job, whatever position God has given you and I to fill, we ought to do it with the very best of our abilities, for that's the best job for us within the assembly. We have before us in 1 Chronicles chapter 27 a list of officials from David's kingdom. David was the honored son of Jesse. David had reigned for 40 years, 7 of those in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem over the people of God. David's departure is coming to a close. The Bible tells us he's old and he's full of days. We know that in David's life there were occasions where he failed. And lest we be too overbearing on David, may I submit to you that there are no doubt events in each of our lives where we have failed. David in Psalm chapter 51 poured out his heart to God, prayed that God would heal the bones which he had broken. He prayed that God would create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within him. He prayed that God would turn him back to himself. And so I dare say this afternoon that in each of our lives there have been shortcomings. There have been those areas in our lives where we had almost nigh slipped like Asaph. And yet as we go before God, he's pleased to lift us back up and establish our going. Yes, David had some issues, but David was a man highly favored of God. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. And I believe that David strived to lead the people in a way that was pleasing and honoring to God. I know that even in his leadership, there were some errors that were made. You go back a few chapters in 1 Chronicles and you'll find that David was guilty of demanding the people to be numbered, even in violation of God's directive. And yet God was so merciful and kind and gracious and long-suffering and forgiving to David. And now he comes to the end of his life. For each of us, life is coming to an end. I pray that God would help us to number our days, that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. I thank the Lord for the privilege of fellowship, for the opportunity to come and to rejoice one with another. But our hearts should be burdened. Our hearts should be burdened for the condition of our country and the condition of our homes and the condition of our churches. The zeal that we ought to feel, which many times we don't. And I'm not exempting myself at all from any of those. Oh, that God would help us. But this list in 1 Chronicles chapter 27 of the officials from David's kingdom can teach us some lessons about serving the Lord. Each person had a place of special service. And may I submit that you do as well if you're here and saved by the grace of God. God chooses what we do. God chooses where we do it, and God chooses the extent to which we do it. We can do nothing of ourselves. Without Him, we can do nothing. And no one can do the job God has specially designed you to do. Each one of us are members in the body. And God has placed us there particularly to do a particular job. I wonder this afternoon, are you doing the job that God has given to you to do? Secondly, David called each one of these officials by name. I'm so thankful that God calls each one of his own by name. I love the 10th chapter of John. Verses 27, 8, and 9 are such a comfort and blessing to me. There's another portion of that chapter that's wonderful. Turn to John chapter 10, if you will. David, as the king, selected these individuals by name. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as king, does likewise. John chapter 10, verse number 1, Jesus himself said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." He leads his sheep out of folly. He leads his sheep out of filth. He leads his sheep out of defilement. He leads his sheep into separation. And we've heard about that during this conference. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he doesn't put them out there and then stay behind them. The Bible says, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." That word "know" carries the idea of affection. They don't love the voice of a stranger. They don't desire the voice of a stranger. God's sheep desire the voice of God himself. Oh, every time the Word of God is opened and preached, that we as the sheep of God would have a hunger and a thirst for that which is right. Each person was called by name by David the king. The third lesson we can see out of 1 Chronicles chapter 27 is that each person served in different capacities. Not all of them had the same job. I can imagine the competition that would exist between these men had David told them, "All of you men will be in charge of the asses and camels." Somebody's got to be the chief. Somebody's got to take the lead. God has established headship in the home, in the church. He's established order in his creation. And so David, as the king, selected men in particular and gave them certain jobs to do. And my friend, God, as the creator of heaven and earth, has the sovereign right to do with the creature as it pleaseth him, void of external counsel or recommendation. The psalmist said, "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Amen. Listen to Romans chapter 9. Beginning at verse number 13, "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, or far be it from the lips of an individual to ever accuse God thus. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, Why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Amen. My friend, listen. God has the sovereign right to do with each and every one of us as it pleaseth him. I have asked the Sunnyview Baptist Church to lift up before the Lord our youngest son and daughter, lost on their way to eternal separation from God. But I have resigned their eternal soul into his hands. And whatever God doeth with my two youngest children, he'll do right. I'm so thankful that he's been pleased to save three of our five children, and my wife and myself, even while serving the United States Army in the sands of Kuwait. God lifted a great burden that I had been carrying and saved my eternal soul. Amen. Fourthly, the king placed each person where they were. Anywhere the Lord places you is a place of special service. Brother Bourne said the other day he was willing to go to Florida. That's where God had him to go. God's been pleased to move him back to 12 Ryan Baptist Church. Brother Mike Channel and his wife Jan are seeking the will of the Lord. Brother Ted Tweet picked up and went from Alabama all the way to Washington. Wherever the Lord has you, God has placed you there for the purpose of service. Amen. And all, dearly beloved, that we would serve God with the best of our ability and with the strength that God has given to us. We could spend time talking about each one of these duties that was assigned to these men by King David. We want to take some time this afternoon and hone our thoughts in on one particular man whom King David chose for a very important duty. And beloved, listen, we as well need to be diligent to protect the oil. I appreciate the message that was brought this morning with regard to the Holy Spirit of God. I preached about 9 messages last year specifically dealing with the person of the Holy Spirit, and he is the third person of the divine Trinity. He's not an it. He's not an afterthought. He is very God. And we ought to seek and strive to be very zealous to honor God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I appreciate much of what Brother Cummins had to say before lunch. Joash was placed by the king over the sellers of oil. You know what I don't find in 1 Chronicles chapter 27? I don't find any of these men ever complaining. I don't find them going back to King David and saying, "Well, King, listen, I'm just not fit out. I'm not cut out for that job. I'm not going to be able to do that. I've got other duties and responsibilities and desires." And no, they were willing to do whatever the king determined that they should do. How often sad it is that God has a purpose and plan for our life, and we fight against it. Or we're not diligent to carry out the work that God has given us to do. Whatever that duty is. I found it interesting that Joash was over the sellers of oil. And that means a couple things. I know very well that in the Home Baptist Church, as well as other churches represented here, that there are a number of God's elect that do jobs behind the scenes. Not seen of men, but seen of God. And my friend, listen, your job is very important. Because you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's more important than any secular job that we could hold. It's more important than any person that we could please upon the face of this earth. Our desire ought to be always to please the Lord. David's men loyally followed him. He's coming to the end of his life now. He's putting men in charge. He's turning over the kingship to his son Solomon. He's putting in place men that will help his son as his son is given the task of building, once again, the temple. What were the demands of the job of Joash? Well, number one, he was to keep the oil. And oil was very important. Amen. In that day, and it's still very important. The meat offering, Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 1, you find was to be prepared and presented before the Lord. But it had to have an item, oil. And if it did not have that particular item, it was not an acceptable sacrifice before God. The meat offering, the wave offering, Leviticus chapter 14. There was a cruse of oil. There was well, let me turn there. It's not a cruse. Leviticus chapter 14. A log of oil. Verse number 21, the Bible talks about the priest offering the burnt offering, the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waved to make an atonement for him, a one-tenth deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and a log of oil, and two turtle doves or two young pigeons, such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the eighth day for his cleansing unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. What if he didn't have the log of oil? It was an unacceptable sacrifice. Lepers were cleansed with the application of oil. You read, just back up a little bit in that chapter and you'll find that. So what happened if the oil wasn't kept? There was nothing, beloved, that was acceptable before God to revert that disease or that plague. And God was the one that reverted that. Remember, Naaman, a leper. You see, there's some things that you and I can do, and there's an awful lot of things that you and I can't do. We can't reverse diseases. That's God's doing. And it was necessary in the Old Testament that oil be used with these sacrifices for them to be acceptable before God. It was also used as fuel for lamps. In Leviticus chapter 24, verse number 1. Leviticus chapter 24 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten, for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually, without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. You know what happens if a lamp doesn't have oil? The light goes out. Oh, beloved, that God would help us to be protectors of the oil. We'll see in just a moment why that's so important. The oil was necessary for the burning of the lamps. Oil was necessary for medicinal purposes. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, Luke chapter 10, the parable is given of the certain priest and the Levite and the certain Samaritan that passes by that individual that's wounded on the road. The good Samaritan came and met the need of that one that was beaten and wounded, and he poured into his wounds wine and oil. Oil was necessary. Oil is necessary for cosmetics. The Bible tells us that oil was used as an item of commerce. 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11. It was used to barter with other commodities. And we know that oil is very important today. You know why wars are raging over in the Middle East? I'll tell you why. It's because of oil. Why is our land so interested in what goes on over in the Persian Gulf? Because we've become an oil-dependent nation. And we'll do whatever we can to feed our frenzy and drive our big gas-guzzling cars. Greed. The desire to take from others what isn't necessarily ours. Someone had mentioned this morning Naboth and the vineyard that he had, which was taken unlawfully. Oil is also a symbol. It represents the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know what happens if the Holy Spirit of God is grieved or quenched in your life? Your light begins to go out. You know what happens if the Holy Spirit of God is hindered in the assembly of worship? God does not receive the glory. Oh, how important it is for us to be protectors of the oil. It is the Spirit of God that is the restrainer in our day of great wickedness. Only he that now letteth will let until he be removed, and then that wicked one be revealed. The Holy Spirit indwells you and I as his people. And the Holy Spirit is the strength of the assembly, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit of God that leads us and guides us into all truth, of which the church is the pillar and ground of. Oh, the importance of the oil and the type of that oil, the Holy Spirit of God, in the lives of you and I as his people. We need people today, beloved, that will keep old-fashioned preaching and praying and praising the Lord and personal holiness alive in our day. In this day, the keeper of the oil literally kept the lights on in Israel. And my friend, I submit to you that the keepers of the oil in the church today literally keep the lights on in the house of God. I'm not talking about these light bulbs above our heads, for this is not the church. You see, the church is the people. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How do we do that? How do we let our light so shine? I'll tell you how I think we do it. Those lights are placed on the candlestick to shine bright. What is the candlestick? It's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if God's placed you, if God's favored you to be a member of one of his true churches, how we ought to let our light shine. Protect the oil. The second demand of the job that Joash had was not only to keep the oil, but it was to stay in the place where God had placed him. Where was that place that God had placed him? Where King David had put him? That was a cellar. I got to thinking about this. When I was growing up, my dad went to Philadelphia College of Bible and seminary there, and was the associate pastor for a number of years at Aston Baptist Church, which was an Arminian church, and the Lord led him into the doctrines of grace. And soon after that, he left. During that time, we lived in Aston, Pennsylvania, in a little two-bedroom home. My mother and dad enjoyed a bedroom of their own, and me and my two brothers and sister got the other room. While we were there at that home, there was a little cellar outside. Had two little doors, and you'd walk down steps into the cellar, and Mom would put her canned food down in there. It was a dark place, damp, dusty, undesirable. God sometimes places us in areas that are dark. Oh, we live in a dark world today. We were just sitting over the meal, and some of the men were discussing the current state of our government and our economic system and the waning of our morality in this land. We live in dark days. And sometimes God places His elect in those areas. You know what I found? I had the privilege of going to Iraq. From 2003 to 2004. Some things I learned while I was there. Number one, we can live with a lot less than we live with and still get by. Number two, our relationship with the Lord can be a whole lot closer than it is if we get rid of rubbish, which many times we fill our lives with here in the United States of America. Yeah. Number three, I found out that in the country of Iraq, it seemed as if the stars shined brighter in the sky than they'd shine any place else that I'd ever been on this universe. And you know why that was? Because in the desert, there is no electricity. In the desert, there is no light. And nighttime, it becomes so pitch black that you can't see hardly anything but the stars in the sky, and they shine so brightly. It's the same stars that we see here in the United States. It's the same stars that you see in Mount Morris. The same stars that we see in Clarksville, Tennessee, and that Brother Hamill sees in North. The same stars. They just don't seem to shine as bright because it's not so dark out. You see, we've got street lights and stuff that dim the lights. Beloved, the darker the days get, and they're going to get darker. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking that everything's going to get better and better, and that one day we'll become gods, which is the idea of humanism. But the Bible says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I believe it is going to get worse. I believe those that stand for the truth of the Word of God will be persecuted. We've not only been called to salvation, but the Bible says we've been called to suffer for His name's sake. It'll come. You better prepare yourself for it now. Oh, I pray that God would draw us close unto Himself, that God would help us to develop ourselves as His people, that we would protect the oil, that when that time comes, our Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, would be our strength and our guide. It must have been hard for Joash to stay in place, to protect that oil down in the cellar, to serve God in a place that was not seen of men. And I'm sure that King David prospered because of the faithfulness of Joash for the remaining time that he had. You know, it's interesting that when you look in God's Word, the times in which we benefit as the people of God are the times in which we're alone with God, away from the world. One of the men mentioned the Pharisee and the publican, and how the Pharisee loved to stand and pray and make a show of all the things that he had done, and how the publican could not even so much as lift up his head, but beat upon his breast. He smote his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You know, the Bible tells us that when we pray, We're not to stand out on the street corner. We're not to make a big show. We're to go in a closet and close a door. We're to find a quiet place, a private place where we can communicate with God. And what we speak to God in secret, God will reward openly. Many times we get that backwards, don't we? If we're not careful, we want to impress people with our speech. We want to impress people with the adjectives that we give to Almighty God. But in reality, our life is cold. Our relationship is not what it ought to be. Joash was demanded to stay in place and protect the oil. I pray that God would help each of us to faithfully fill our last assignment until God gives us another. When I was in the United States Army, I could travel, but I could not get reassigned unless the government told me to go somewhere else. And I got assignment orders. If I went somewhere else without the government approving my move, I was absent without leave. I was subject to punitive action. You think about us as the people of God. God has given us all a responsibility. He's placed us all in a certain place to serve Him. You know what we do sometimes? We want to get back out in the light again. We're tired of serving God in the cellar. We're tired of not being seen of men, and we want to move to another place. I appreciate what the brother said about preachers and how we need to be on guard. Sunnyview Baptist Church is a small church. I believe the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are small. He addressed His church in the New Testament as "my little flock." There was another church that was needing a pastor, almost triple the size of Sunnyview Baptist Church. And they called another pastor friend inquiring if I would be interested in coming down as a candidate to pastor that church. And I told the brother, I said, "Brother, I'm not interested. God's placed me here, and I have to stay here until He moves me." Stay in place. Thirdly, he had another demand, and that was to watch for thieves and robbers. He was to keep an eye out on the oil and be sure that none was stolen. Beloved, we need to do that today. We need to be watchers. We need to be awake. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's a thief. He's a robber. He'll steal your joy. Brother Dan preached a message one time. I've never forgotten it. I don't know that I will. Stolen hearts. He'll steal your heart if you allow him. He'll steal your determination. He'll steal your zeal. He'll steal your tears. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Perhaps the reason we don't see the moving of the Holy Spirit in our day like we ought is because we don't weep and go after like lost souls as we ought. Well, that was the demands of his job. This man, Joash, he was placed in this position of duty by the king. But there were some disadvantages of his job, and we'll mention these and be closed. I don't preach 2 o'clock at Sunnyview, and I think I'm out. So we'll be quick. The disadvantages of his job. Are there disadvantages of serving God? Well, not so far as God's concerned. But there are when you consider the world. And oh, I pray that we would purpose in our hearts to serve God. The Bible says that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world. The reason why is so that he may please his master who has called him. One of the disadvantages of the job of Joash was that it was uncomfortable. As I said, his cellar was damp and it was no doubt deserted. It was dark, but he was called upon to be obedient. You know why he did? You know why I think he did what he did? Because he loved King David. The greatest impetus for you and I to be faithful in serving God, amen, is love, amen, for God. I love my wife. And I'd do anything for her. I pray I wouldn't do anything unlawful. But I'm human. I may if it came to that. I'll never know why in the Old Testament there were God's servants who lied, and yet God blessed them. I mean, they said things that weren't true. I think of Rahab the harlot. She told a lie to protect the people of God. I'm sure it's because she loved the men, the messengers. Sometimes it gets uncomfortable serving God, but we must be obedient. I think about Paul in Acts chapter 20. We've been referred to that chapter much through the conference, verses 18 through 24. And at the latter end of that chapter, there are those that just weep on the neck of our brother Paul because they would see his face no more. They tried to discourage him from going to do what he said he was going to do at the place he was going to do it. And you know what he said? None of those things move me. Neither count I my own life dear unto myself. He was ready if it called on him losing his life physically. He was ready to please God and protect the oil. Joash's job was certainly uncomfortable. I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every individual on the face of this earth deserted him. No man stood with him. Yet he cried, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Stephen in Acts chapter 7, the Bible says, is kneeling down. And while he's praying out to God, they are stoning our brother. And he's there alone. I know that God was with him. I'm talking humanly, beloved. And there may be times that you and I are called upon to work in service to God alone, without human assistance. All that God would help us to continue on for the faith once delivered unto the saints. It was lonely, no doubt. I'm sure it was lonely for Elijah. I'm sure it was lonely for Daniel. I'm sure it was lonely for others of God's servants, but they've all stood faithful. Oh, that God would help us to protect the oil. Paul was said to be a pestilent fella. By the order, Tertullus. That word pestilent is loimos. It means a plague, a disease, or a pest. He was a very unwelcomed individual out in the world. I'm sure it got lonely for Paul. Demas forsook him. Many didn't stand with him, but he was obedient unto God. This place that God had enabled King David to give to Joash was a place that was unnoticed. I'm sure it was a thankless job. Oftentimes when you're not seen, you're not thanked. But let me also say that oft times the praise of men comes at the price of compromise. Oh, that God would help us not to seek the praise of men, but that we would seek the affirmation of God. Lastly, it was an unappreciated duty. Oh, it was appreciated by the king, but I'm sure others must have mocked Joash that he was given some lowly job as to go to a cellar and keep the oil. Beloved, may I say this afternoon, stay faithful in the work that God has given you to do. In whatever position God has placed you and I, may we be found faithful when the Lord Jesus Christ comes or when He calls us home. That as we have been exhorted during this conference, we may hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Amen. What God desires more than sacrifice, more than offering, is obedience. I pray that God would help us to be protectors of the oil. Lord bless you.